From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. What dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil? It's a line from Shakespeare that refers to the troubles we humans have on the day-to-day and to our physical state. The rules in day-to-day healthcare are not poetic, though. You can have insurance and end up waiting 6 hours in an emergency room for basic care. And while healthcare consumers might have a, well, bone to pick with the system, so do doctors. We're going to look at how healthcare providers are making do with Dr. Thomas Lee. He's a primary care physician in Boston and an associate editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. And Dr. Tanish Walford, a primary care physician. She just sold her Beverly Hills private practice. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks very much.
So, Dr. Walford, let me start with you. You had a private practice in Beverly Hills, California until recently, and you sold to another doctor. So why'd you do that? What happened?
It's been a complicated year. Earlier on in the year, with the high gas prices and the shift in the economy, a lot of my patients were being downsized from their jobs. And, you know, when you go from full-time to part-time, you lose your insurance benefits. And, you know, things at home are getting tighter. So they would dance around whether or not they needed to keep their appointment. But initially, they would still try to get their prescriptions filled. And so at least all of their prescriptions, and pretty soon they would miss appointments and not refill prescriptions and make individual decisions not to come into the office. In addition, that if the ones that did come in started to not pay their outstanding balances or pay them with checks with insufficient funds and just asked for a lot of favors. And initially I gave in, but when the numbers started to increase, it started to put my accounts in the red. And that and a lot of other circumstances, you know, just led me to throw in the towel, so to speak, in primary care and in private practice anyway, solo practice.
So when people go in for health care, some people go in and they just need regular care, but they go to an emergency room because they don't have insurance. Some people have, you know, a private doctor with a private practice like you had. Some people go into, you know, HMOs. Do you think it's harder for people in private practice like the one that you had in this environment?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because the problem lies in the solo or the small practice in that our books, they need to, you need to get paid in a short interim. You need to get paid in 1 to 3 months in order to keep up with the overhead costs, your receptionist, your nurse, the charge, your leasing charges, all your supplies, not to mention vaccines and all these really, really high cost items. And what starts to happen is that, you know, people start not paying their bills or letting their bills go delayed 3 to 6 months even. And then you can't pay your bills because that money needs to come in, your accounts receivable needs to get received. Mm-hmm. And for the smaller practitioner, there isn't a lot of, there's no buffer, right. You know, whereas a larger group could probably absorb a lot of that. You know, they could probably not be paid for up to a year and still absorb a lot of that. In the smaller mid-level practitioner, that's not an option.
Well, Dr. Walford, I want to ask in a second kind of what you see in the future, but I want to go to Dr. Lee. Now, Dr. Lee, in November, you wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine about the importance of primary care physicians in the healthcare system. So given what we've been talking about, what kind of strains do you see?
Well, I think we're going through a really messy transition right now where the healthcare system has been paying people like Dr. Walford and people like me for doing transactions, for doing visits, for doing tests, and for doing procedures. And that system isn't working so great. Its costs are going up wildly. And so the payment systems responded just by decreasing the amount they paid and taking their time and paying it. The transition that's underway, though, is to something new that's not yet formed, but we'll be getting paid in the future for something else, for like taking care of people, for producing outcomes. But the payment system isn't there yet, and our office practices aren't there yet. And I think it is very hard for the small independent practice like Dr. Walford's former practice was to handle things during this transition.
What do you see ahead, Dr. Lee? I mean, do you see for example, politics affecting healthcare. There's a lot of talk about whether or not a new presidential administration is going to really change the game. Do you see the tremendous economic changes creating a system where it's very difficult for anyone but people who provide very specialized services to survive as sole practitioners? What do you see ahead?
Well, I'm an optimistic guy, and I think that the combination of politics and the economy are going to lead to big change, which will ultimately make healthcare much better and financially sustainable. But the realistic side is that the transition that's upon us is going to be brutal, and it's going to be very hard on everyone. But the two big forces politically and economically are we got to cover people. We have to find a way of getting health care insurance for everyone. It's just not sustainable when 47 million people don't have insurance, and it's going to become 50 million with the economic downturn. And then the economic downturn also affects companies, taxpayers, by really making it imperative that we move to some different way of paying people than diminishing fees for every visit, so that doctors like Dr. Wolfer just are working harder and harder and falling farther and farther behind.
Dr. Wolfer, before I ask you what lies ahead for you, just give me an example of what you think this is doing to patients. Give me an example of course, you don't have to use a name, but someone who had been a patient of yours who, and what's going to happen to that person now that you're leaving private practice?
I've actually had some significant feedback from some of my patients through the physician that purchased my practice. And the biggest concern that I have is for some of the patients that had developed a significant trust relationship with me and had really committed with me to improve their health. And in really drastic ways, like smoking cessation, complete dietary changes after heart attacks and cholesterol lowering and massive weight loss with type 2 diabetes. And those people I would see on a regular basis, even accepting the smaller reimbursement from the insurance company, because they needed more emotional support to actually accomplish the goals that we had set together. And my biggest concern right now is that it took them years to develop that rapport with me, and I would hate for them to slip through the cracks and for them to not achieve their goals or not even be able to continue in that same venue without the support.
And what's ahead for you?
For myself?
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I'm heading towards a large group practice that can absorb all of these extra costs, and they can have the staffing that can support all the needs that primary care patients require.
Dr. Lee, when you think about what options people will have, do you see a lot of what are, what might have been called family doctors just throwing in the towel and either joining large practices, HMOs, leaving the profession? I mean, what's going to happen to people who have been caregivers who really know the name of all of their patients and have a long relationship with them?
Well, I think that the standalone solo physician practice, it is going to be very tough for it to survive. And I actually don't think it's worth spending too much time mourning it, because it's inevitable. In this day and age, you don't take care of sick patients by yourself. There's just too much to know, too much to do. No one can know everything, and you have to work with groups, and you have to have electronic medical records so that the other people know what you've done. And it's very tough for solo docs to do this. Now, what I do think is imperative is that big organized groups in medicine have to adopt systems and approaches where they give warm, personalized care to people. I don't think you should have to choose between friendly, personalized care and getting it from a well-coordinated, financially viable group. But, you know, there is a challenge there.
Dr. Walford,
yes.
If you had one piece of advice for a patient, you know, what would it be in terms of advocating for themselves in the healthcare system, finding a doctor?
That's a difficult question. But I guess they need to find a practitioner, a physician that will be honest with them, even when it really hurts. They need to find someone that they trust enough that when they hear honesty, they can respond appropriately to it.
So you mean when you have a diagnosis that's negative, or you just tell them, you know, lose weight or die, or stop smoking or die, that they listen to you?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to come across like, you know, like a billboard ad, you know, driving in and then you drive past and it's gone. But someone that will give you that information but also guide you to achieve results.
Well,
so that would be the best situation.
Well, Dr. Walford, Dr. Lee, appreciate talking to you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you.
We were speaking with Dr. Tanish Walford, a primary care physician who just sold her Beverly Hills private practice, and she joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. We also spoke with Dr. Thomas Lee, a primary care physician in Boston and associate editor of the New England Journal of Medicine.